starting with verse number 12, and I do apologize for those listening by way of radio. If I cough in the mic, I do not mean to do that, or listening by way of sermon audio. But starting with verse number 12 of Romans 5, we have what some have called a complex message. A complex passage of Scripture. And you will be surprised at how many commentaries, when they get to a passage of Scripture, that they don't fully understand or want to get into. And it depends on the period of time you're reading after and who you're reading after. But many times they'll just skip over it or skim through it. And so starting with verse number 12 of Romans 5, we have what some have called a complex passage. And because of its complexity, they just kind of overlook it or just kind of go through it real quickly. But this is a very fascinating portion of Scripture because we are brought face to face with the great reality of salvation, that by one man, Jesus Christ, by his death, the burial, and his resurrection, he has effected salvation for all who believe. Paul has been teaching us throughout Romans that forgiveness of sin and access to God is through one person, one way, one man, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, you would probably be surprised if I told you how many people in my ministry in the last 25 years, how many people preaching that Jesus Christ is the only way has offended, and they have left the church, or they have left, did not return to hear more messages. I can count on my hand a number. This is greatly an offense to the religious person, that Jesus Christ is the only way. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so this is highly offended. This flies in the face of all religious men. I have often said that one of the most dangerous things in the world or on the earth is religion. It was religious men who flew the planes into the Twin Towers. It's religious men who behead those who do not conform to their way of thinking. And that's just in the religion of Islam. But there's other religions, man-made religions, that are just as deadly and just as evil. And so the fact that salvation and forgiveness of sin only comes through one really flies into the face of the religious man. Because man-made religion says, if I'm going to be right with God, there's got to be something that I can do. There's got to be something that we can do. We as a community, we as a group, we as individuals, there's got to be something that we can do, I can do. Man-made religion is a salvation by works religion. Well, I don't know about you, but my salvation is by grace and grace alone. All of my works are as filthy rags. All of my righteousness is just no good. Let's look at verse number 12. Romans chapter 5. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now here, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God, is making an announcement. He is making a statement of fact that no one in their right mind could successfully deny. He says there in verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." That one man, of course, is our great, 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 and go on, that grandfather, Adam. And as a result of the fall of Adam and Eve, death came by sin. Before the fall, think about this, and I don't know how long Adam and Eve dwelled in the garden. We don't know that. I do believe, and some have differed with me, and I frankly don't care, but it's not neither here or there. I believe in a literal six-day creation. I don't know how long Adam and Eve lived in the garden from the time that God breathed into the nostrils of Adam and he became a living soul. And from the time that God opened up his side and took a rib and created Eve and he named her when he first saw her, whoa, man, because of her beauty. They may have lived a million years. I don't know. We don't know. But as a result of the fall of Adam and Eve, death, and before that, nothing in the garden, nothing died. Death was foreign. No wonder you could have a tree that's 500 years old. We still have some of those today. But death was foreign. Death was not known. So, as a result of the fall of Adam and Eve, death came by sin. So death was passed upon all men. The human family inherited death. And all the human family shall die. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. No one has escaped death with the exception of two. Elijah caught up in a whirlwind, a chariot of fire, went to heaven. And old Enoch. Enoch walked with the Lord. One day they were on a walk and God said, "We're closer to my house than we are yours. Why don't you just come home and stay a while?" He's there today because it's never gotten night. He thinks he's just... There is no darkness there in heaven. So he was waiting for the sun to go down. To head back home, he's still there. Other than those two, everybody on the face of the earth has seen death. But all the rest of the human family, they have died. And all of us who are alive will die, except those who are alive at the time of the mighty rapture. That's my hope. I'm not looking forward. I have not purchased a piece of ground to put my coffin in. If I die and you're still around, you need some crab bait, welcome. I have not went out and purchased a piece of ground. Brian's already thinking back there. Amanda's giving an idea. Our hope is that the trump of God sounds. But if the trump of God does not sound, we're all going by the way of the grave. Think about it. Being translated, being caught up, called away to meet the Lord. I love this passage of Scripture. Let me just read it to you. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 51. The great apostle Paul said, behold. In other words, he said, look here a minute. I want to show you something. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. Now, Paul, the great apostle, the great missionary, writer of more of the New Testament than any other, God revealed some special things to Paul. He translated them over to us and gave them to us as the word. And if Paul says there's a little mystery about this, we're talking about the end time prophecy, and there's still, with all the evidence that we have and all the scripture, there's some things that still makes us scratch our head. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Amen. There's my hope. We shall not all go by the way of the grave. We'll not all have to die. That might be these little ones he's referring to, like Seth and Peyton, some of those little ones. But don't steal my hope. Amen. It may be all of us. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen. If we go by the way of the grave, there's going to be a great getting up morning. I'm coming out a lot different than I went in. Amen. The crippled man will walk straight again. Amen. The day we laid my dear old mama in the grave, that little twisted body swiveled up, that left arm up there so tight, when me and Arlene would change her clothes, we thought we was going to break her arm as we pulled it down to get her sleeve in there. Oh, but there's coming a morning, there's coming a day when mama's going to jump up out of that grave. You'd have never thought she was in a wheelchair. You'd have never thought she had an artificial hip. You'd never think she's going to run. I'll tell you what, we're all going to be changed. Amen. We might not all go by way of death, or we might not all go by way of the rapture, but we're all, glory to God, we're going to be changed. If I had some spiritual people, you'd say amen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, faster than you can blink. You just blinked, didn't you? Yeah. That fast, Lincoln. The trump of God's going to sound. Brian, you brought a trumpet, didn't you? Huh? Did you buy one? Oh, yeah, looked at one. Kind of expensive, huh? But the Bible says that the trump of God's going to sound. The last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Well, I can just see Mama now. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. I can see some of you right now on that day. Brother Fred back there, swinging that arm. Old rotator cuff, totally like a newborn baby. Amen. Hair will start growing in places where it hadn't in years. You say, well, that's silly. Well, just leave me alone. All right? But the Bible says this corruptible, this decaying disease, there'll be no more cancer. There'll be no more heart problems. There'll be no more diabetes. Amen. Glory to God. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. No more death. The Bible says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then, I want to add only then, shall that which is written, Excuse me. Let me back up. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? You imagine millions of people getting up out of the grave, getting caught up, saying, oh, death, where's your sting now? Amen. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Apart from that event, every one of us are going to die. We're going to go by the way of the grave. The reason death is passed on unto all men, because all have sinned. The very fact that men die, is an indictment of guilt of the human family. If there were a sinless person in the world today, or a single person who has never been contaminated in any degree by Satan, that person would never die. Think about it. Death is the result of sin. Death is passed upon all men without exception. Paul said in Romans 3 and verse number 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because all are equally guilty, therefore all men die. Had not Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they would have never died. That's hard for you and I to grasp sometimes. Because they did sin, the penalty of their sin is that every person is right now spiritually dead. The Bible says we're all dead. We were all dead in our trespasses and sins. But also, we will all die. Now, because of this, we're going to be troubled with death. Note verse 13. Let me go back to Romans 5. Romans 5, note verses. You see something a little bit different here, and this is one reason that I like to use the King James Bible. Now, from time to time, I will look at an English standard or a new King James. Every once in a while, I will look in my study, but I primarily stay. In fact, we do all of our preaching and our teaching here at New Hope Baptist Church because if one is saying one thing, one is saying another, there's confusion. But this is one of the reasons that I refer, and I love my King James, because you'll note that verse 13 and verse through 17 are set aside with some parentheses. You see that? This tells us something. The Apostle Paul says this right here is a little commentary of what I've just said in verse number 12. So we see here that it's set aside, set apart with these parentheses. It's set in somewhat apart from the other verses. As a commentary, Paul wrote The epistle of Romans, divinely inspired of God. God moved upon him. Breathe. That's what that when we talk about the inspiration of God. God breathed upon Paul and he wrote as he was inspired of God. But all along, he makes a divinely inspired commentary of his own. And so, the King James translators wanted you to know that. That's why when they use certain words, they'll put in italics, because they added that. That wasn't there in the original, so they're honest. They're honest. So, we have here a commentary. He makes these commentaries, these explanations about some particular verse, like verse number 12. But it's just as inspired as the other parts of the Scripture. The parentheses let us know that here is the commentary of something important. Therefore, the commentary is just as inspired, greatly important. Let's look at it. So verse 13 through 17, what Paul deals with, he deals with what he said in verse number 12, as by one man sin entered into the world and death. Think about it. Through that one man, Adam, sin came into the world. And because of sin, death. Now listen, sin entered into the world through one man. But it wasn't invented, nor was it originated by that one man. You understand me? It wasn't invented by Adam, nor was it originated by Adam. The Bible tells us, in fact, Jesus tells us, he reminds us, in John chapter 8, verse number 44, Jesus talking to those Pharisees and those scribes, Jesus said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus said those words. So there was sin prior to Adam. Isaiah the prophet tells us of Lucifer. In Isaiah chapter 14, let me read this. Isaiah chapter 14, and you'll see what Lucifer's problem was. Verse number 12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the most..." What was Lucifer's problem? I problem. Pride. I. Bible says, "I will ascend there above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the most high. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." So way before Adam, it was sin. found in Lucifer. So who was the first original sinner? Son of the morning. Lucifer. The devil. Satan. He's got many names. My grandfather used to call him Smutty Face. Yeah, Slew Foot, Split Hoof. That's all been all kinds. I've heard all kinds. Yeah, I'll use that name. Mud Face. He comes by many names. But the Bible talks about Lucifer, Satan, the devil. But sin entered the world as we know it through one man. Adam became an agent of the devil. He became an agent of Lucifer when he yielded. Note something in verse number 12 with me. It says, as by one man sin. What did I note there? That it's singular. It's not sins. As by one man sin. Not all the acts of sin came through Adam. Start naming sin. All of those did not come through Adam. Adam did not invent the acts of sin. Later on, his son invented the act of murder by killing his brother. But Adam, the Bible talks about those that sinned not after the similitude of Adam. What happened? Adam opened the door. And so, not all the acts of sin came through Adam. Adam did not invent the acts of sin. But what came was the principle, was the nature, was the disposition of sin to the human family. Think about it. Adam was mankind. Adam and Eve was all the mankind there was. They were the human race. I debunk all the foolishness that there's life other places. This is where God chose to bring life. Dig all you want to on Mars. Spend billions and trillions of dollars all you want to. They're talking about Pluto out there right now. Leave poor Pluto alone. He ain't bothered nobody for millions of years. Life is here. Death came here. Think about it. Sin came through Adam. As all natural children have the features of their parents. Natural born children. They have the features. They have their eyes. They have their ears. They have their nose. God bless some of them. They have the features. Some have been surprised to learn for years that they're just now finding out. Just the other, I don't know, about 2 weeks ago, someone, Andrew's adopted? Why, he looks so much like his mom. I said, no, he looks like me. He acts like her. But they do. They take on their eyes, their nose. Natural born children do. So they have the sin nature also. Let's move on to the commentary. Look at verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. In other words, before Moses, sin was in the world. Anytime you see the word law, it's making a reference to the time of Moses. So, before Moses, sin was in the world. Now, as we have just noted, sin found its way into the garden through Lucifer, disguising himself as a serpent, a beautiful creature, beguiled Eve, and Eve gave to her husband, and they both fell into sin. So it made its way into the garden. But from Adam until Moses, those 2,500 so years, sin and death was in the world. But we are told in verse number 13, sin was not imputed when there is no law. What in the world are we talking about? What is Paul saying here? What does this mean? It means a man, although a sinner, was not really aware of the exceeding sinfulness of sin until the law came. Whoa, what a revelation. The law says, thou shalt not lie. Whoa. The law says, thou shalt not steal. Whoa. I mean, I got to take back all my neighbor's chickens. I didn't know it was wrong. You know, I didn't know. That's what we're talking about. So when the law came, it means that though man was a sinner, he was not really aware of the exceeded sinfulness of sin until the law came. And when the law entered, death still reigned. The law didn't do nothing about death. It still reigned. Look at verse number 14. Nevertheless, the law's been introduced. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. For all those say, well, it's not my fault. It's not our fault. Why should we have to? Because we are the seed of Adam. And although we didn't sin after the similitude, we're just as guilty. Who is, by the way, Adam is a figure, is the figure of him that was to come. Death reigned upon all the human family from the garden right down to the time that God gave Moses on Sinai the law. Death reigned. Death reigned, but where there was no law, men were not fully aware of the extent of their guilt. Our children, as they grow, they become more aware of their guilt. When they do some things, when they're small, like the babies around here, although we know how guilty they are, they're not aware of it. But as we grow, we talk about the age of accountability. When is it? I don't know. For some, it's early. For others, it's late. I know some old men, I don't think they've reached it yet. We're aware of their... But there are some in the world who've never had the gospel, who've never had the light, aren't aware of their sinfulness. Or they exceed in sinfulness. Oprah Winfrey's starting a series, and I do not recommend it, but I'm going to look at it. On 7-week series of why people believe in certain things that they believe in, and all these man-made religions, and one thing or another. I want to see it for some information's sake, but the reason why is they're searching, they're trying to do something to appease whatever God they worship. But when the law entered, sin revived. The light was turned on. And by the law, man saw his exceeding guilt and his desperate condition, his total depravity. It is by the preaching of the truth, and it was by the entrance of the law, that man discovered their great need of a redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't care what the world thinks, because it's still, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:21, it still pleased God through the foolishness of preaching, not foolish preaching, You know, these that go after genealogies and you know, preach against all this. Let's get down to where the rubber meets the road. Man's going to hell. He needs a Savior. Amen. But the Bible says that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Till the day that I die, I'm going to be guilty of preaching the gospel. Not running off after jackrabbits. I've shot enough of those in my past. Men are dying and they need a Savior. They need the Bible says, if I be lifted up, Jesus said, I'll draw all men. In these last days that we're living, we need to preach Christ more than ever. Look at the news line, the headlines. We are in trouble. This world is going to hell in a handbasket. If war breaks out in the Middle East, you know how many souls will plunge into hell in just a heartbeat? Never thought about this until just the last few days. How close is it? Right now, there's some 10,000 or maybe more troops in Afghanistan. They're going to draw that down to 5,500. But that's still not that many, 10,000. In a nation our size, and yet my son knows three of them, of those 10,000, that's getting a little bit close to home. I'm starting to think about it. Fred, I'm about ready to agree with you. I worry about them. I mean, my boy, TJ, Mary, these others that we know, hanging on our wall. It might be the great conflict they're going to be involved in. The only way to be prepared is to know Jesus Christ. I need to hurry. Look at verse number 15. The Bible says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. The offense, of course, is a reminder of the fall of Adam, the sin of Adam and Eve. Verse 15 goes on to say, so also the free gift. As the offense is a reminder of Adam's fall, so also the free gift. The free gift, of course, is a reminder of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. Let's finish verse 15. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man. The world hates that, remember. It's only by one man. Jesus Christ hath abound unto many. The offense of Adam, verse 15, many be dead. They died spiritually. They were dead spiritually. But they are dying physically. Many be dead because of Adam. The sin and the transgression of Adam is transmitted from generation to generation. I'm a sinner because my daddy was a sinner. He was a sinner because my granddaddy was a sinner. My granddaddy was a sinner because great-granddaddy was a sinner. It's transmitted from generation to generation. Now, there has never, this always disappoints some of those new parents. But there has never been one single part of the seed of Adam which has not been contaminated and not felt the sting of the fall of Adam. Even that precious thing you're holding in your arms has been contaminated. Remember, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There, no one has been excluded. Excluded. The whole human family stands indicted under God in the fall of Adam. Look at verse 15. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, the whole human family is under that curse of sin. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, and death until now is enemy number one. We've all tried to stem him off. We get sick. We stay sick for a day or so. Well, we head to the doctor. We don't want to die. It's number one. Enemy number one. But the gift by grace, which is by one man, also as the offense came through one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, that grace now hath abounded unto many. I once was lost, but now I'm found. You know why you're here this morning? Saved or lost, you're here by the grace of God. You're not here by accident. You just didn't happen to be here. God in His providence, God in some way directed and brought. We're here together. And today, you are hearing the light that might be being turned on. Those that might be listening for the first time by way of radio or will pick this up by way of internet. And this may be the first time you're hearing this bald-headed fat preacher. And that lets you know what I look like a little bit. The light has been turned on and you're realizing, I need Jesus. Well, you're in hope. There's hope. It's by grace. It's a free gift. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to put in an application. There's not a 60-day waiting period. Amen. It's free for the asking. Those that will just believe and receive and trust. I once was lost, but I am found. We're learning in school, 1 John 1:7 says this, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. There's still power in the blood. Amen. All these years, it's just as powerful today as it was the day it was spilled. This free gift by grace is through the work of Christ on Calvary. Look at let me finish real quickly. Verse 16 and 17. We've got two more illustrations Paul gives us in this commentary. Look at verse number 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Again, we see a striking contrast between the first and the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through Let me put it this way. Though you and I are guilty of many offenses, the free gift through the Lord Jesus Christ produces justification. What's the meaning of that word? Just as if I never sinned. We know how bad we are. But when God looks at us through the gift, through the blood, through His Son, He declares, what sins? Amen, George. That just makes me say hallelujah. I know how rotten and how desperate and how wicked I am. Listen, I'm capable of anything. Just flesh. We're all capable of it. But in Jesus Christ, it produces justification. Look at verse number 17. though I'm a sinner. Let me say this, and I admit it. I admit it. I confess it. I would be a fool to deny it, especially with my wife here, and vice versa. Honey, you don't have nothing on me. You tell, I'll tell. Some of your eyebrows are going up. You're the same way. Yeah, there's some things in your life you hope never gets out. But thank God they're under the blood. Amen. Man, that just, they're under the blood. I have found grace, the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Though many are my offenses, the free gift is under justification. Look at verse number 17 real quick. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. In Adam, all died. In the second Adam, all believers are made everlastingly alive, eternal life. We pass from death unto life. Righteousness shall reign in life by one man. That one man is none other than Jesus Christ. Now, I know that upsets the world. Oprah, you got it wrong. There's only one. One man. That one man is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the second Adam. By one man's offense, death reigned. Adam brought the curse of death upon the human family when he fell. The Lord Jesus Christ faced that same curse. He faced that same curse. But glory to God. Amen. He conquered. We fight old death and we lose the battle. The best of, thank God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he conquered death and he walked out of that grave on that third morning, assuring you and I of our own resurrection some golden daybreak. Amen. Some golden daybreak. Jesus is coming. The trump of God's going to sound. Amen. I've often thought I'd like to be in the old cemetery when the rapture took place. Bible says that the dead in Christ are going to be raised first. They've got 6 foot to come. But we're all going to be caught up. Amen. Can you imagine what the world's going to be like? Can you imagine the moment that the trump of God sounds? Millions on the highways. Vehicles. No drivers. Planes making their final approach. No pilots. Back in the 70s, the rapture was preached a little bit more than it is today. One of the famous songs, or one of the most popular songs during the 70s, when I grew up, was "Jesus is Coming Soon." I mean, it was on all the charts. It was on there. "Jesus is Coming Soon." Well, I want to tell you something. He hasn't come yet. So if people thought he was coming soon in the 1970s, how much closer is this coming? Before we get back tonight, by the way, if you come back tonight and no one's here, you want to hear a good message, this evening's message will be right here in my notebook. Just help yourself. If anybody else is here and anybody want to preach it, you go ahead and preach it. Because if the trump of God sounds, I won't be back. Amen. Where are you going to be? The trump of God sounds.
Amen. You're the only one who has the answer. I quit answering for people a long time ago. I found out I wasn't too good of a judge on character. Why, some people I thought, sure as the world. Had a fellow one time, saved for a number of years. Said he was. Got saved in his old age. Really got saved. Had me fooled. Well, you'll never fool the Lord. He will help some. I never depart from thee. I never knew.